It's lovely to see you all. Glad you can be here. We're going to look at those two passages and some related thoughts around them. So why don't I pray, and then we'll come and think about our question tonight. Father God, we pray for your Spirit to work as we think about how you love us and how our lives are precious in your sight. So please encourage us, please strengthen our faith, and please open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus more clearly. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Does my life matter to God? Have you ever asked that question? Perhaps feeling a little bit down, feeling insignificant, and wondering, does God really care? Is my life worth anything? Does it have any value? Maybe you've wondered, does anyone even notice me? Is there any significance to what I do or don't do? Are there any consequences? Does it actually matter? Does my life really matter to God? That's the question for tonight. We're going to look at it from a couple of different angles and see how we go at answering. But one key foundation is how we think about God. See, some people think about God as a kind of watchmaker. Winds up the world, gets it all going and working, and then steps away and says, right, you're on your own now. And if you think about God that way, then you have a God who's not really interested in the day-to-day things of our lives. Other people think about God as someone who is completely different, someone who is so far above us that he just has no interest in us. God is so huge, so powerful, and we are so small and insignificant that God doesn't even notice us. On the other hand, we might also wonder, how can God care about billions of people? I mean, surely there are too many people in the world for God to keep track of every single individual in the world all at the same time. How can he do that? Well, I mean, God can do it because he is God. That's what it means to be God. God has an infinite capacity. God does care for each individual among the billions of people on our planet. The Bible shows us God is involved in our world. God knows this world and he knows us, and he has acted in history. That's what the Bible records for us, isn't it? God acting in history. And we know that God desires a relationship with us. So let's take a look at some things we learn from the Bible about God and how these things help us to answer this question. Does my life really matter to God? First thing to say is that God knows you intimately and completely. Have a look again with me at Psalm 139. We're going to look at the first six verses there. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." See, most of us, I think, have a desire to be known, to be understood. We want people to say, "I know you and I love you." You don't need to pretend. I know who you are and I still love you. We want people to get us, don't we? Well, the psalm tells us that God gets you. God understands. God knows. God knows you. He knows how you think. He knows how you will act and react. He knows what you're going to say before you have even thought about it. But God, does God care? I mean, sure, God knows me, but does my life matter? Does he actually care? Well, a few verses later, as Psalm 139 continues, we learn that we are created by God. God is the one who gives us life. It's not random. We are made by him. He says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." See, we are made by God. Now, generally when I make something, especially if it looks good and it actually works, I'm pretty proud of it. I don't make things very often, and they don't often work, even when I do. But a few years ago, my son Toby and I made a table in Jordan out of an old wooden crate and some axe handles for legs. It was pretty wobbly, but it did stand up, and so I was very proud of it. I took a picture to show you. God made us, and he's pretty pleased with what he made. God saw that what he had made was good. In fact, in Genesis 1:27, we read that God made us in his image. He made us to be like him. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Does your life matter to God? Well, he created you in his image. He's the one who gives you life. So I think the answer would be yes. But Jesus also emphasized that people are known by God and precious to him. Matthew 10, verse 29. Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." It's good to know, isn't it? God has numbered the hairs on your head. Think about that. I don't know if you've ever tried counting, one at a time. It'd take a long time, wouldn't it? God has numbered each one. I mean, why would God bother to number the hairs on your head if he didn't care for you? Now, he knows us intimately. He knows us completely. But the most obvious and the most important answer to the question is this: God sent his son to save you. Does my life really matter to God? He sent his son, his one and only son, his beloved son. We're going to look at some verses from that, the second passage in Ephesians that we read earlier. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul starts by pointing out that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. But then in verse 4, he says something wonderful. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." See, God acted in love for us. God acted through Christ Jesus. And Jesus gave his life. He died in our place. And as he rose from the dead, he conquered death and he opened the way for us then to move from death to being made alive. Now that was not because we deserved it. No, Paul says it is by grace you've been saved. We didn't deserve it. That's what grace means, isn't it? We didn't earn it. We didn't contribute to it. I mean, we couldn't because we were dead. But now God has made us alive in Christ. In his love and his mercy, there is life in the Lord Jesus. Friends, let that sink in. God has chosen you. You did not do anything to deserve it. Now, God knows you intimately. He knows you completely. He knows your flaws. He knows your failures. God knows your disobedience. He knows your shame. God knows the things you desperately hope no one will ever find out. God knows them. And yet, knowing all of those things, he still loves you. Paul sums it up in Romans 5, verse 8. He said, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Does my life matter to God? It matters so much that he sent his only son to die in your place. That's how much it matters. To endure hell on the cross in order to save you. That's so incredible, isn't it? No wonder Paul says we need God's power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. We can't grasp how big it is without God's power working in us. So I want to encourage you when you get home tonight, take a little bit of time just to dwell on this truth. Reflect on it. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, even knowing all the most terrible things you've ever done. It's such a crucial thing for us to grasp if we're going to persevere in serving the Lord Jesus. We could also approach our question from a slightly different angle. Now, sure, God sent Jesus, and now my sins are forgiven, and that's great, and now I can do whatever I like. Does God care what I do or don't do? Now, does what I do actually matter? Is there any significance to my actions? Well, of course, again, the answer is yes. God does care. What we do does matter. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we're created with a purpose. We're saved not to live the same way we were before. We're saved to live a different life, a life of serving him, a life that pleases him. And God has prepared in advance the things he wants us to do. He's prepared in advance these good works. Now, of course, the good works don't save us. We're saved by God's grace. But it's still important to live God's way. God says, now you're a new creation, and now you can live my way and be different. Now, Paul explicitly answers this question about whether or not what we do matters in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We know, don't we, sin is still present in our world and still present in our lives. But now that we're saved by Jesus, sin doesn't belong. We've died to sin. And so it matters when we sin and when we disobey God. It matters because it spoils things, makes things ugly. Yes, Jesus overcomes sin, but bringing it in where it doesn't belong is just not right. Bringing sin into our relationship with Jesus brings something completely unholy, impure, into something that is profoundly holy. It's a little bit like popping a balloon in the middle of a prayer meeting, or singing a song while there's a minute's silence on Anzac Day, except something far, far worse. Because there is right and wrong, and what we do does matter to God. Does my life really matter to God? If you're asking that question, then God has an invitation for you. If you know someone who's asking that question, then you have an invitation from God that you can share with them. The Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Come. Come and live the life you were made for. You are known and you are loved." And in fact, God offers us a place in his family. You're invited to be one of God's sons and daughters. 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." That is what we are. Children of God, if we accept the invitation that God holds out to us. Friends, your life matters enough for God to invite you into his family. The question is, will you accept the invitation? Will you come to Jesus? If that's something you're thinking about, something that you would like to do to accept that invitation, then please come and talk to me after the service. I'd love to chat with you about that. If you've already accepted that invitation, then praise God. Rejoice in his goodness. You are known intimately and completely. And in his love and mercy, God sent his Son to die for you. And he says, "Welcome to the family." Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for your love and your mercy to us in the Lord Jesus. We praise you, Father, that you know us intimately and completely, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We praise you, Father, that even though you know all of our flaws and failures, all of our shame, that while we were still sinners, you sent Christ to die for us. And so we want to give you great thanks and praise. We ask, Father, that you would help us to grasp this truth more and more, to understand the depths of your love for us. And we pray that you would give us opportunities to share this hope that we have. Help us to see the good works you've prepared in advance for us to do, and please strengthen us to do them so that we can be your faithful servants. So we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.